To start out this morning, I would like to apologize to all our listeners for having to replay the first part of our study on glory to God through prayer. I have a good excuse, though. I was in the hospital last week, so it's quite fitting for a study on prayer, because I sure appreciated all those who were praying for me and my family. So very much. I really appreciate every one of my brethren, and I want them to know that. So this morning we will pick back up with part two of Glory to God Through Prayer in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. The initials PFE helps us to remember what we need to be doing every day. Yes, sir, what's more important than our eternal destiny? Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, of course, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. Then in the worship service, we're striving to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern in truth, but also having a proper attitude that would be in spirit, according to John 4:24. Now, I can assure you that you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to setting up a Bible study. If you're interested in doing that, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. Also, if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, please write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, we need to make an important announcement, as this is the last day of our gospel meeting with Brother Bill Boyd, as he is the fine preacher from Rockville, the Rockville congregation in McMinnville, Tennessee. And that's my old stomping grounds down there in Tennessee. And we love having him and Sister Lori with us for the gospel meeting, and this is the last day, so there's still time to come at the 9:30 Bible class hour or the 10:30 worship service hour. Then a wonderful potluck lunch will be served, guaranteed to, just do so good to your taste buds, they won't hardly be able to stand it. And then to close out the meeting at 1 p.m., the last sermon by Brother Bill, and we look forward to hearing three great sermons this Sunday morning. As I record this, it's before the meeting started, but I can assure you that Brother Bill preached the Word and did such a fine job Friday and Saturday night. Now, let's get back to our study concerning glory to God through prayer. You know, all accountable souls, especially we Christians, should realize that God is truly worthy to receive all the glory, honor, and praise, to be loved with all our hearts, to be obeyed, to be served, and to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. So we cannot overemphasize the greatness and the perfectness of God. Now, for the last two Lord's days, as it was repeated, we asked ourselves these questions in the first part of our study. Are we utilizing the great spiritual blessing of prayer? And how thankful are we for all of God's physical and spiritual blessings? So now we want to continue this morning by answering this question. Are we following the teachings of Christ as we pray privately, and of course as men lead public prayers, when there are women present. It would only be the men, as we discussed last week. Now, let's notice that this again would be a mixed service where the men are to lead the prayers again. So let's go now to Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. And this is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but really it's a model prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. We can study more about our Lord's prayers. Hopefully we'll get to that this morning. But now, let's pick up here in verse 1 of Luke 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now we're not to pray that today, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, of course, Matthew's account in the Sermon on the Mount, 9 through 13 as well, is the Lord's Prayer. But let's notice how many people, yes, refer to this as the Lord's Prayer, but are not seeing it as a teaching model of how to pray. And what we're wanting to do is see from this model prayer that Jesus was instructing his disciples in how to pray, there are lessons for us who are members of the body of Christ, certainly to put into practice. As we want to certainly submit to God's will when we pray. Now, we're not just to quote the model prayer as our own prayer. That's not good. To memorize when we're children, that's one thing, starting out. But when we're getting older, we need to pray from our heart. That's what God wants to hear. We're not to pray for the kingdom to come, certainly not, because the kingdom came with power on the day of Pentecost. Look at Mark 9:1. As Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom come, the kingdom of God, that is, come with power. So if the kingdom of God has not come, then there's folks who have been alive since the first century. Well, we know that's not the case. The kingdom did come in the first century. Look at Colossians 1:13 and verse 18. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Well, to be translated in the kingdom of his dear Son is to be added to the body of Christ when we obey the gospel, of course. And notice verse 18, And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. How many churches are there? According to the Bible, there is one, the church, the kingdom, one and the same. So we need to understand that, because that's Bible. Now, we are to address God the Father. Notice, our Father which art in heaven, through our only mediator, Jesus Christ, of course, as the Holy Spirit teaches. This would be 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and the men, the man Christ Jesus. We're to pray in the name of Christ, that is, by his authority, in addressing our prayer to God the Father. Matthew 6:6-9, Romans 1:8, Ephesians 5:20, Galatians 3:16, 1 John 2:1. Something else we note, we're to be reverent, to give praises and thanksgivings for God's wonderful nature and authority. Hallowed be thy name. That's right. God's name is hallowed. He has all authority, and he gave all authority to his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to submit to his authority, but we're to be reverent when we pray to God the Father. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Are we serving and worshiping God acceptably? We need to be sure that that's the case. That's for sure. We are to be humble and to be submissive. Notice, thy will be done. Yes, as it is in heaven, it needs to be so here on the earth. Thy will be done is the greatest example of humility, submitting to God the Father's will, which the Lord himself did in his prayer in Matthew 26:42. Note, Matthew 26:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father in going to the cross and bearing the sins of all the world. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? It should mean everything. We should be in great debt to God our Father for sending his only begotten Son into this life to live a perfect life and give of his life for ours, bearing the burden of our sins, not his own. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So let's be humbly praying, not selfishly, but let's be praying, thy will be done. We are to be dependent upon God. If you'll notice here in the model prayer in Luke 11:3, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, without being attached to Christ, the true vine, we're nothing. Remember that, John 15:5. Do we realize just how dependent on God that we are? We need to be like Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So we are also to ask for forgiveness. But in doing so, we need to be willing to forgive others as they repent. Notice, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Luke 11:4. And in Matthew 6:14-15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Are we willing to forgive others who have wronged or offended us in some way? Well, we need to be ready to forgive. If one repents, certainly that's the thing to do. Forgive them, just as God forgives us. If we repent and do his will, what is our attitude towards the lost? We need to be praying that they would have an opportunity to learn the truth. And when we have opportunity, to teach them, of course. Now, here's another point we want to look at. We are to pray for God's providential care. Now this would be in Matthew's account. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 13 of Matthew 6. And then the Lord finished out his model prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, we're to pray for God's providential care. Yes. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So here's the question, is it not? Are we looking for that way of escape, knowing that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear? Let's always keep that in mind and look for that way of escape. It's there. We can learn from the example of Christ, of course, when he prayed and for whom he prayed, and I want us to begin that now with the time left. Jesus began his earthly ministry with a prayer after he was baptized by John, Luke 3:21-22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Well, look at Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus prayed early, didn't he? And in solitude. And in Luke 6:12-13, we note, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Jesus prayed all night before choosing his 12 apostles. Now, Mark 6:41-46. Mark 6:41-46. Jesus gave thanks publicly, excuse me, and privately to God the Father. Let's note. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And while traveling, we note that Jesus took time to pray. This is Luke 9:18. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, that his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? Jesus prayed when he instituted the Lord's Supper. This is Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And when he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. That's Matthew 26:26. And Jesus prayed for others, including children. Luke 22:31-32, Luke 22:31-32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Mark 10:15-16, Mark 10:15-16. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Matthew 19:13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them of all things. But they learned. Now we go to the cross, time of the cross, rather, and you'll see right before the cross, Jesus prayed this in Luke 22:41-44. Luke 22:41-44. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now this was an earnest prayer, was it not? Drops of blood falling down as Jesus prayed so earnestly. Not my will, but thine be done, as we talked about earlier. This is before the cross, knowing what was coming. Now, Jesus in John 17, here's a longer prayer to study. You'll see in verses 1 through 5 that Jesus prayed for himself. And then in verses 6 through 19, he prayed for his apostles. And then in verses 20 through 26, Jesus prayed for his church. And I want us to note verses 20 through 23 of John 17. John 17, verse 20, beginning through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. God the Father, God the Word who became flesh, our Lord and Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, they are perfect in harmony, complete unity. And Jesus is praying for his church to have that kind of unity, as we are one, that they may be one in us. Yes, that's right. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. We're to have unity in the church, not all divided up into different sanctions. If you'll look at 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said, let there be no division among you, but that you all be perfectly joined together of the same mind and same judgment. That's through the gospel of Christ. We can be one if we all stay with the pattern that God has given us in the New Testament. There wouldn't be all this religious confusion. We need to know the truth. Don't be ashamed to say that there's one true church, because that's what God says. Jesus said, I will build my church. That's it. That's the truth. He did. He built one true church. It's his body, his spiritual body, and we need to be a part of that. Now, let's go on. Jesus prayed on the cross for those who crucified him, Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. You know, Jesus ended his earthly ministry in prayer. Yes, he did. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In other words, he submitted to death for you and I. Did you notice that one of the Lord's prayers while he was on the cross was not included in the above that I've gone over? Well, let's now go to Matthew 27:46. We do not want to leave this out. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, we know in Psalm 22:1, this was prophesied exactly what Jesus would say. Psalm 22:1. But, you know, that should never come from our lips. No, sir, because God never forsakes us. You see, God the Father could not step in and help his Son at that time, or we would not be able to have our salvation through his sacrifice. Now that ought to mean something to us. It ought to get every one of us to appreciate the love of God and start living the life of a true Christian following Christ if we're not doing so. You know, we become separated from God when we sin against God, Isaiah 59:1-2. And after obeying the gospel and receiving the forgiveness of our sins by the precious blood of Christ, we can forsake God by becoming unfaithful. 2 Peter 2:20-22. You know, only Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who was sinless, could bear the burden of all our sins, which resulted in our salvation being made possible. And so as we study the prayers of our Lord and Savior, let's appreciate what he endured for our sins and how he stayed close in communication to God, his Father. Well, we need to appreciate what Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, Jesus was experiencing the sins of the whole world. How do you put that into words? I can't. But we need to try to appreciate what he did for us. If you've not obeyed the gospel, what is your excuse? Do you have an excuse? It's not a good one. Why are you delaying doing what God would have you to do and being forgiven of your sins by the precious blood of Christ? As we hear the truth, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we repent of our sins, making a change of wills, and we make the good confession unto salvation, then we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism. We thank you so much for listening today.